BAM Radio Network.
The best starting point is to trust your intuition. Know that how music affects you is probably how it's going to affect your students. And notice how you're using it in your life to energize, to focus, to relax, to engage you in certain topics, and to take those same concepts and use it intentionally in your classroom.
Welcome to Music and Learning. I am Marianne Harmon.
Welcome, Chris. You and I share a passion about helping people become comfortable not teaching music, but using music to teach. Would you explain to our listeners what that means?
One of the ways that I like to think about music in our lives is to ask the question, if music means so much to us, and it seems as if everyone is pretty much in agreement that music is an important part of their lives, why would we go to school or work for 8 hours a day and turn it off? Especially when there are so many ways that music can be used in the classroom to support learning in so many ways, both to help learn academic content, to set a positive mood, to increase the learning potential of the students through motivation, just to have fun and make the school's environment a positive place to be. There's so many ways it can be easily used. And so I think that although teaching music is an essential academic subject matter and important to teach, that we shouldn't undervalue the importance of it just as a daily part of our lives. And that really is the difference between teaching music to learn academic skills and music and abilities to perform and understand and appreciate music, and using it as a teaching tool in every classroom.
Your book, Soundtracks for Learning, is a great resource to help non-music teachers. Well, music teachers could use it too, but non-music teachers learn the why music's important, how to use it, and where resources are. So share with us how you came about writing that book and what the purpose of it is.
Soundtracks for Learning is basically the culmination of my 25 years of work in determining how music can be used in the classroom. It's a handbook for anyone who wants to begin using music in the classroom, as well as for those who are already using music and want to enhance or increase their repertoire of uses.
But can you explain one of the activities? Like, I know the one where sometimes teachers' big thing is having trouble with transitions, and you have this activity where people have certain songs they have to hum and find their partner's song.
There's lots of ways that music can be used in very simple ways, and one way is just to simply play it as students are coming into the classroom or leaving the classroom. There's also some very positive ways for increasing student focus and that can also be fun. So one way we use it is simply to have students find a partner when we're doing work with partners or in groups, and as they do that, they hum. Basically, they hum a song that only they and I know what they're singing, but they have a partner somewhere else in the room or a group of partners somewhere else in the room, and they're trying to find that partner by listening for whoever else is humming that tune. This is a real fun activity. It also enhances students' listening abilities, which we definitely need throughout the educational programs, and just a fun way to energize.
And there's research to show that children that can identify differences between pitch earlier are also better readers?
The research has been found that kids who are in the age level of learning to read who are working with music, in particular just singing a lot of music and recognizing pitches, but also using some of the music teaching skills such as Kodály method, that those abilities that are brought up in music and pitch discrimination definitely improve the reading of beginning readers. So there's actually research that proves this and shows that if you have kids in kindergarten and first grade sing a lot, they're actually going to have a better time learning how to read.
Now, one of the things that you bring out that I think is important is that all styles of music are important and all are helpful. Sometimes people think, oh, rap music's no good, when actuality, it could be the lyrics that are harmful. It's not the style. And that's where Mozart comes in. A lot of people thought, based on Francis Rauscher, Gordon Shaw, that when you listen to Mozart, you get smarter. Now, we know it's not that simple. It's more has to do with the amount of beats. And you go into that in your book. And I'd like you to take some time and talk about that, because people are very confused about that. Do I play Mozart and that helps my child's brain, or is there more to it?
Well, there's a lot more to it, and it's not just Mozart, and I want to emphasize that you know, there's all styles of music that can help, and the key is to use it appropriately at the right time. So if I'm trying, for instance, to create a positive learning atmosphere, which we know from research improves learning, negative moods decrease learning, positive moods increase learning. So a way to use music is simply to play music in the cracks, but as kids are coming in or leaving or you're switching topics. And that music can be a wide variety of music. It can be, for instance, one of the few places where I suggest that you play music with lyrics, popular songs. Pick songs with lyrics that motivate kids to do their best and be their best. And there's a lot of music out there that does that, including, by the way, rap music, because there are some rappers who have totally switched to using lyrics that are only about bettering yourself. So that's a place where popular music can be used. Most of the time, I recommend music without lyrics, because if you're using it during the learning process, you don't want to compete the learning facts with the lyrics of the song.
You ever have the experience, you know, someone shared with you what you refer to as the aha moment, where something's crystal clear, where they've said to you, I've tried the music idea and this is what happened. I'm so excited.
Yeah, people tell me that all the time, that they have wonderful ahas in the ways that they find to use music, and I love hearing their stories. I had an example in Florida when I did a school-wide training at an elementary school and taught all the teachers to use music in the classroom, and I gave them, the school purchased sets of music that were good starter sets, and each teacher had them. They had directions and whatnot, but as I was getting ready to leave the school, there was a phone call to the principal, and I was in her office at the time, saying, you have to come see this. I played that music that we were given, and I put on the wrong music, and you just have to come see it. So the principal and I ran down the hall, and I'm beginning to get a little concerned, like, how could something go wrong with this? But when I get to the classroom, here are the students, and they're doing reading. And most of them are sitting at their desks and they're reading quietly, and music is playing. But the selection of music that was used was music that I recommended for energizing and using in active exercises, and not really for reading. I wouldn't have thought to use it in that way. But what I noticed was that most of the kids were fine. It was upbeat drum music, but there were about three or four that were standing next to their tables with their elbows anchored on the tables, and their legs were standing up, and they were wiggling to the music, you know, really active, but wiggling. And, it looked funny. It was a kick to watch. But what I noticed was that those kids were really focused, and that the music actually was channeling their energies. They were most likely the really kinesthetic kids that have to move in order to think. And they were moving to the music, but really engaged in the reading. And so I brought that to the attention of the teacher and the principal, and I said, you know, I would never have tried this, and I'm so glad you did, because there's your kinesthetic learners, and the music is helping them to focus, and the other students don't seem to be bothered at all. And so really the aha for all of us was that you just need to try different things, and if it doesn't work, you turn it off. And if it does work, aha, you've made a new discovery.
I love moments like that, seeing the magic of music working. And you could leave teachers with a comment to help them feel more secure, because so many times teachers will say, well, I can't use music, I can't sing. And I say, you know, you don't have to teach music, but you can use it. And it's so easy to do. What could be some encouraging words you could close this interview with?
I think the most important thing is for teachers just to try something, to think about what's something they can add into their daily routine, or where's a classroom subject that they're struggling with where perhaps if they use music, it would enliven it and engage the students, just to give it a try.
Thank you, and please continue to be the wonderful advocate you are for this important subject. Thank you for your time today. I know you're very busy. You've been listening to Music and Learning with Marianne Harmon. Thanks for listening.
This program is produced by Jack Street Media as part of the Affiliate Nanocasting Network. Thanks for listening.